Blog Talk Radio.
To be invisible will be my claim to fame. A girl with no name, that way I won't have to feel the pain. Indispensable, just a plain old human being. Today don't mean a thing in a world that's so mean. A world that seems nice for me. I won't have to explain a thing, if you know what I mean. I won't even have to be here on the scene. It's so ridiculous, but the strife and the bliss go right on through me to have missed all the things that hurt.
Life's so preciously, just don't seem to be as free as they claim freedom to be.
Freedom.
Things are going fast, to have found it all in the past, to have to take what you can get. Little fame, fortune, and wealth. It's so ridiculous, but the life and the bliss will go right on through me to have missed. All the world seems not for me, so privately I'll be invisible. That way I won't have to explain a thing, if you know what I mean. Gonna have to be here on the scene. So ridiculous, but the sight and the bliss go right on through me to have been all the things that hurt you so. No one would ever know. No, 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 they never know. Life's so preciously, just don't seem to me. They claim freedom to be.
Freedom.
Oh, things are going fast. You are bound that all's in the past. To have to take what you can get. Sure can make a heart upset. So I'll be invisible.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory.
Oh,
to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, no. Oh,
glory, glory.
Now the war is not over. Victory isn't won. But we'll fight on to the finish. And then when it's all done, we'll cry glory. Oh, glory. Oh,
Selma is now. For every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory, the coming of the Lord. My eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh,
glory.
Oh,
welcome to Dry Bones Connection on Saturday night. This is Antoinette, and tonight we're going to be discussing the Tuskegee Airmen, the Daughters. And I have with us one of the Tuskegee Airmen, Colonel Wright. Are you with me?
Yes, ma'am, Miss Antoinette. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You're loud and clear. I'm well, thank you, and yourself?
Thank you. I'm on the support side. I'm not one of the Daughters, but I will say I'm Tuskegee Airman.
Yes, sir. Yes. And we're happy to have you.
I'm glad to be always on Blog Talk with you, Miss Antoinette. It's a joy that I feel is from one broadcaster to another, and you do a very, very beautiful job. I enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you so much.
You're dedicated to the
mission. And I'm looking forward to you when you're back up and running again, which is going to be
soon.
Hopefully
soon. Yes, exactly. That's a work in progress, and hopefully real soon.
Yes, Allen, North Carolina.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, in Rocky Mount. But, you know, I'm a Detroiter, born and raised in Chicago and in North Carolina, Rocky Mount, and like it here, no doubt in my mind.
Good. I'm glad you do. I'm glad you like it down south.
Oh, I do. Trained down here, and I said I'm going to come back down here. I enjoy this weather, even though it's nice and hot. Make me feel like I'm in Texas, and that's not too far away. So I feel
and
right
hot here.
Oh,
it's
yeah. And you are Delaware? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's hot here, too.
That's good because we all share the heat.
No, I don't like the heat. I don't like it at all.
Snow.
Well, yes, I like the snow.
The only thing about the heat is bad is when you can't breathe and no cold air to kind of cool you off. But this, too, will come to pass.
Yes, it will.
3 months
yes,
from now, you're going to say, where's the heat?
No, I like the cold. I'm fine. I'm fine in the cold.
I hear you. I know everybody has their temperaments that they like. Me, I'm a little everything. I like all four seasons. That's why the good Lord made them.
Yeah. Yes, you're absolutely right. But now, we're going to talk a little bit about the Tuskegee Airmen. And you too, of course, because you were in the wars and different things, were you not?
Correct. There's a shield and there's a stone. Definitely.
Yes. So I have a question, and while we're waiting for the other airmen to, you know, their spouses to arrive, let me ask you this question. I was looking at a documentary today, and they were talking about the soldiers that have fought in the different wars going back to World War II, and that when they came home, that because they were black men and in uniform, that had a lot of resentment from, well, I guess no other way to put it, but from the white folks, that they did not like it, especially the poor white folks did not like it that they had this authority, that they felt as though that they did not deserve and that should not be respected. And a lot of men from World War II, you know, and I guess the Vietnam War, were hung, that, you know, these white men would get together, they would hang them, they would beat them, they would throw them in jail and different things. Now, did you experience any of the racial injustice from being in the service, from being in uniform?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, mine was a little slightly different than that, but it nevertheless is still the same. Coming out of Detroit, born and raised and lived in Chicago, experienced some racism even both cities, let me put it that way. But I went down to El Paso, Texas to train in Fort Bliss in 1976. And I have a Hispanic look, if you will, but I'm mixed with a lot of Indian blood, me and some black blood. And my hair is straight as I don't know what it is. I don't have a curl in my body. But the police, though, the border patrol will watch me when I would come after I did training. I had basic entertainment, and I was assigned to Fort Hood. One of the things, and that's in the center of Texas, they always kind of watch those light skin and kind of thinking you're from Mexico. I've had stoppings from them even after I finally moved there in 1984, and that's where the time frame I'm specifically looking at. When I moved after I did my 8 years consecutive Army honorable discharge of United States Army, I went to El Paso to live there so I can work at a brand-new radio station there called KXCR, it was an FM station. I was one of the first blacks to sign that station on. I was the first one to do that when they did it in 1984. Mm-hmm. But the Border Patrol, they stopped me going to work one day, and I called a bus because I was in the mix to buy me another car. And I showed them my ID, and I showed them I was a veteran, and they didn't believe me. They thought I was from the city right next door in the next town called Juarez, Mexico. And that's the name of his call. And I told him, I'm not. He said, well, you need to go back home. I said, that's a long way.
Oh,
you're getting smart. And I says, I looked at his name and his number, and I found him some Border Patrol. And I said, you know what? I'm going to have my commander call you. And he said, well, you from Mexico. I'm not worried about who called me from over there. I said, okay. Any problem? Anything else? He didn't say anything else. I got his name, his number, and his vehicle number. Always get that. My commander, that was at Fort Bliss, I went back to go catch up with, he was still there.
Yeah.
I told him what happened. Do you know he got a hold to Border Patrol? He got a hold to INS? And he got a hold to that man? And they pulled him. They pulled him. Oh, yeah. They captured him because he wasn't only harassing me. He was harassing a whole lot of other folks. But I went to battle. You know, there's no need for him to bother me. I wasn't bothering anybody. He was going to come pick on me. But it got him removed.
Yeah.
This is what we have to do because that's not the only person. I was just having to pick that one just to give you an idea how it happens to those. Just not even bringing it to them. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy what I do for the military. And anything having to do in the community, law enforcement and all, that all, we all one family. We all work together. We all serve together. But just because there's one bad apple on the tree don't mean the whole tree is bad.
Well, that's true.
He happened to be, a bad apple. He had a worm infected in him called prejudice. And that worm just wore him out, and he just had to find somebody to get mad at. But there's a way of cleaning up some of those bad apples. And I wouldn't make it applesauce, but I would say you chop them up, Then you pull them from the line, you take them off the line, and you find the processing, which is the loss ad, and get them out processed or rejected, as we would call it. So they don't make it to somebody's dinner. They don't make it to somebody's salad. They don't make it to somewhere else to harass anyone else. And I believe in that. And that's what we have to do. That's the only way you're going to slowly stamp out some of racial prejudice. It's always going to be there. It's been there for decades. It's not going to stop.
Yes, that is true.
But you can begin to slowly fight and keep yourself out of jail by having the mouth off. You do it through the law process. And sometimes you may say, well, that's just feeding to the alligators. Not necessarily. Go through the steps. Have the right information. If you have the main big five and the H, you win your battle. And I did. That's who, what, when, where, and why, and don't forget how. Somebody
yes.
along the line using this one of those, and when it goes to court, they lose, and they wonder why. Check back. You found one of those was missed.
That's true, but, you know, Colonel, we've had so many that have went through the court process and everything else, and they've lost or they're in the grave. And this is outside
yep.
of the military. Forgive me, y'all. It was just something that I wanted to ask, so forgive me. But, you know, we have so many that, you know, despite the court system and everything, you know, we have, well, not only black men, but black women, black children that are in the grave because of, you know, this racism, prejudice. I mean, now they've escalated and they call it racism, but, you know, I don't call it racism. To me, it's still prejudice. You know, like you have said earlier, it's prejudice that is still inflicted on us. And why? You know, why are we still the Negro problem?
It's always one specific ethnicity or identified particular, not necessarily gender, but of a race, of a culture. That's always picked on, no matter how you look at it. And I've seen a little bit of all of them. I've seen where even in Detroit, my home city, working for a predominantly busy corporate job, there's a white lady who worked where I was at. Her boss was white.
Uh-huh.
And there's three other black folks there beside myself. But he picked on her because he wanted advancement with her. And I heard his mouth in such a disrespectful way. He was after trying to get her to go to bed with her. And that's honestly what the truth is on it. And I told her, why don't you fight him back? She says, because every time I do, it's always dropped. I says, why is it dropped? Because they believe him and not you. I said, I tell you what, let's take this guy to court because I'm going to go with you if you want me to. And she said, would you do that? I said, yeah, because I heard what he said. And so he heard we were going to do that. He came after me. I said, be careful what you're doing. Because I do like going to court. Been on juries, been to court, and I don't fear the law. I had no reason to. But be advised, you go to battle with me, you better be a veteran, because this veteran's going to take you out. And he showed up, kept on mouthing off, and he did. So we got a hold of the right agencies in the state of Michigan, my home city, Detroit, found out the EEO was Equal Employment Opportunity. You heard of them. And
yes.
Let me add one
EEOC,
more word,
yes.
Affirmative action. We
mm-hmm.
took them to court. She applied for reverse discrimination order. Now, remember I told you she was white, and he
right.
was white. But because I signed on to it as a one that saw it, acknowledged it, and knew exactly what he was doing, we got him fired. Because I put in my statement,
yes.
One of my requests is the day of this court's adjournment and conviction, I want him fired that day. Now, he's been there like 27 years. You know, that's
yeah.
over his retirement. But he didn't care.
Yes, it is.
She gave me a big hug for doing that. So, I mean, racism reverse does work if you team up and the truth is there. But
yes.
it's not
I mean,
always
well, that's
a racial
anything.
Thing. It's a discrepancy
yeah.
of gender. And
right.
that's what I've learned
and that
to help.
All the time.
We help each other. That's it.
Yes. Yes. Colonel.
I believe in that. Yeah.
Yes, and that's a good thing. I have a friend here, and he has requested that I get this song and play it for him. So I'm going
right
to play this song. And okay. So this is for my friend that's out there. And I see you, so I want you to know I didn't forget you.
I want everybody to listen. I want to talk about the rich and the super rich, the poor and the super poor. Come on.
Well, that was for my friend and for everyone else. But that was the Rich Get
I'm
Richer
here.
By the OJs. And the song that I played before that was Glory, and that was John Lemon and Common.
And you also played earlier Miss Gladys Knight.
Yes,
to be
I
invisible.
To be invisible.
From my motor
yes.
city of Detroit. And I know she's from Georgia. And
yes.
I enjoy that music right there. I enjoy it because that was her Claudine album, if I'm not wrong. If you might have extracted
yes.
that. Yeah, and that was a beautiful movie. If nobody ever had a chance to see that out of Detroit.
Oh, yes, it was. Yes, it was. I love that movie. But also it made me think about the PG Airmen before they were able to go in to fight. And they, you know, they were held back. So I figured that that was fitting, you know, that they were invisible.
You're right. You're right. And even 2022, where we at right now, we're short right now well over, I would say, 47,000 pilots. And many of the pilots have to retire at age 65. And since you're talking about this part of Tuskegee Airmen, many of them were pilots and black pilots at that fought in war by virtue of flying the P-51s, going into zones that even some of the white pilots wouldn't go in to rescue folks right out. I remember Mr. Jefferson, who just passed recently, one of those in a very dear friend of mine out of Detroit, we talked about that very mission. And we talked about those who of other missions he had. But he's a great teacher. But that was one daughter that taught me a lot of what war was like in his time frame right before me. And he mentioned it that people constantly ask him now, how did you all get those planes flying when you didn't have the mechanics to have the teams, the American Airlines, United Airlines, and all the other big airlines and Delta would have. And it's very much like it now, the lack of the staff, the lack of operations, so they had to cut flights. Where in the war, you can't cut a flight. You got to get the birds up in the air and attack and hit your missions. Well, the blacks were the only ones that had the planes that wasn't supposed to fly, let alone make it back if they did fly. We call them bubblegum because they had to put it on the rotor to keep the rotors in. The pilots can tell you about that. They had parts of machines of aircraft that FAA today wouldn't let you fly even for a drone, glued together and put together. But they didn't have the capability. They had the talent. They didn't have the tools. They had the planes, but they were all scrapped. So they rebuilt
yeah.
them. And that's what I love about many of Tuskegee. I talk to pilots. I teach flying drones. And the similarities of flying are the same. The training hours in the lab, in the simulator, before they can go boarding planes nowadays, they didn't have them. They learned. They went to Ohio and places to go train, and they took off and they go to war. That was it. But they were held back because of the pilots who taught them and or gave them planes and or put them in training didn't care if they made it or not. And that is hard. And today's Army and Air Force and Navy and Marines, even with the special teams, sometimes we don't push ourselves to achieve success because others tell you you're no good. You don't have what it takes. How you going to make it? You black, but you know about flying. And I'm from Emory Riddle or this school or that school and that school. I go to the top-notch school. What makes you so good? I've heard pilots say that kind of slang around me, even out on the runway
yeah.
when they're boarding their 747s. And then they're boarding their big aircrafts. And I says, what makes you think that plane is yours in the first place? Who do you think fueled it? Probably somebody black. Look out your back door. You see a black fuel tanker driver right there. Suppose he didn't fill your plane up. What would have happened?
Yeah, I'm not kind of going back to my original question that I asked you
yes,
in the
ma'am.
Beginning about the
yep.
racism and things like that. That is there with black airmen?
Yes, it's still there today. It is. You're just not going to find it on WRL News here in North Carolina. You might have found it on NBC in Detroit, you know, Channel 4. You might not find it in USA newspapers. But the thing about it is, it's still there. It's not put away. It's just not talked about as much as COVID and as monkeypox and all this other stuff going on. You find other stuff to disguise it or distract it. But the women today are now showing, and I believe what I see, they're pilots too. And they're good pilots. And I've met a couple of them. I met the first lady that flew out of F-16. She was out of Selfridge Air National Guard Base out of Michigan. I met her before she hopped in her bird. She was out on the runway. And now one of the things I did was that, out of ramp and things. I had a chance to see her. But we're losing pilots because they're not given a chance to be the top gun, to be the very best. They held back because they said, oh, you don't have 1,000 hours in the cockpit yet. You shouldn't even be up in the air. And sometimes we have to look at what holds them back. Is it them? Is it the equipment? Or is it other forces? Usually, if a person or a good student is sharp, they're skilled, they have the identifiers, they have the what we call the Armed Forces Skill Qualification Certification, if it's for Air Force or the MOS if they were Army, or they have an endorsement, a certification from FAA, they, why not can't they fly? And that's what I mentioned earlier, how many pilots we're short. It's going to take 22 years to get balanced of the pilots we're missing because of either their retirement or they're just not able to fill the slots fast enough because we don't have the pilots to put in the seat. And that's not due to racism. That's due to COVID. So we have a different problem we have to deal with. So a lot more black pilots want to learn how to fly. Now's a good time. Now's a good time. Because a lot of seats are open in other areas of duty that makes that aircraft fly, and that's called ramp. That's called luggage. Look at all the baggage people went on vacation 4th of July, and that baggage is still in other countries. Because most of those people are black that usually work in luggage and baggage and transportation and cargo. That's support to the airlines. Same with the Tuskegee Airmen. They didn't have a support staff to help them get their planes off the ground. They had the pilots run outside to fuel their own aircraft, get their own baggage up, get their own cargo up. They didn't have a team to do that for them back in those days. They did it. But it's the problem,
yeah,
the same, but similar. It's not just racism anymore. It's been that way. It's always been racism, but it's more technical now. And technology has replaced racism to, if you're not certified in certain things, you can't perform. That type of, I call it technology racism, because it affects both sides. Or all three sides, or and Hispanic, and all also is involved in there too. Everybody, something to think about.
Well, how did the Tuskegee Airmen, the Deltas, how from the ones that you knew and that you had opportunity to talk to, how did they handle all of this?
That very question is what I asked them. I said, you didn't have exception to taking Tylenol at the time to take all that. He says, you know what? They sure didn't mind drinking with us, though, didn't they? When it comes time to do something, that was the end of the party. And they had to handle it through, I would say, drinking alcohol, smoking cigarettes, jaw talking, just, you know, learning to your skill another way. That's how they did it. Because you didn't have the schools to attend. Let me go to class over here at this community college and learn what I need to learn to fly better. We didn't have the associations to support. Yeah, I'm talking for Tuskegee. They didn't have support systems that we have in 2023 back in 1941 and 1935. They just was not there. But they found other ways to learn by, I call, ghetto networking, meaning anybody's in your neighborhood that you can reach, and it wasn't necessarily a neighborhood per se, but around you that you can learn from real quick. Cross-training was another way of putting it, is how they learn, and taking a risk. I hope they told me right. And that's how, back in those days, they were able to deal with certain things. But you know what? When all said and done, Gigi Airmen saved the many a battle because of the hot spots they went into. I said it earlier, most folks would not even go, probably today. But that one bird,
true,
that P-51, was one good bird. And I would love to see the pilots that we have now flying that have 5 stars on them, 4 stars on them, if you will. I had a chance to meet Omar Bradley, one of the last 5 stars on this earth. I haven't had a chance. I met 2-star Charles Rogers, and he was in Germany. And he's one of the few black generals that spent a lot of time with me about the administrative side, the logistical side, and training and leadership. These kind of generals that are out there, that are four-star generals, male and female, to spend time with the black folks who couldn't do it earlier. It's going to take that now in 2023 to move the women forward as good pilots that I know they are out there. It's going to take them coming out of the office and spending time on the line and helping them get through that strengthening door of people being neglected and pushed back and saying, nope, this door is open. Not breaking a glass door, if you will, not breaking a glass ceiling, if you will, but breaking technology zones. Going where you have not been before, the doors are open. And I like seeing the women doing that now. They're pushing themselves through the doors. They're able to fly with the Thunderbirds. They're able to fly with the Blue Angels. And there was a black lady, there's women involved with it right now, even while watching train with them in Fort Bliss, Texas. I watched and met both teams, both the Blue Angels and the Air Force Thunderbirds. It wouldn't be black women then, but they are now. And I'm proud of both branches for doing that.
Yes, that's a good thing. That's a very good thing.
And we need black women pilots because the AWACS, the WAC Corps, Women Army Corps during Tuskegee Airmen time, have always been out there, but they never got credit for joining the Tuskegee Airmen. They were in hospitals and other places. But the Tuskegee Airmen have Tuskegee Airwomen, too, that are part of the family. You don't hear a lot about them, but I'm going to make sure when I have anything to speak about on it, I'm going to bring that up.
Yes, well, that's good.
And
that's a good thing, Colonel. Yes.
Yes.
Because they definitely, you know, they're not talked about in history. I mean, well, really, the Tuskegee Airmen aren't really talked about in history. You know, as our conversation a couple of days ago, you know, people don't really know about the women. I didn't know about the women that were Tuskegee Airmen.
Many of the school libraries have really reduced in size, even in Detroit, when I visit the elementary schools. First place I go to, and I say, meet me in the library. Why? Because that's where their source is. Other than going online to hand open an encyclopedia, you don't find them anymore in the shelves. You don't find those nice, big, rich books they had, even though they didn't have a whole lot of black history in there, but you can't find it, salt and pepper spread it around. The technology now has gotten where you go online to find your information. If you know where to go, you go, like in my favorite state, Georgia, and go down the way at five universities to be a college student at Morehouse, where my great Alpha brothers are at, and you can go to all the other schools based on one ID. I like that. And many of them are black, what I call then United Negro College School, they call them now the HBO schools. But I look at it this way. Education is based on the material they can achieve. And the young kids learning to go into these libraries to find their information on blacks is still limited sometimes because the schools have it now. They don't want Internet going all over the place because you get the viruses, and I don't blame them. You get all kind of spam, and you get all the nudity and stuff in there where the poor kids don't need to be exposed to none of the craziness. And so if they don't have their safety checks in place, that happens. So they have to guard the kids from some of that. But at the same time, someone needs to monitor the learning levels. As a teacher, I look at this so they learn the education. When I find good things that you can bring in on flying and technology, and I'm going to put it in there. Tuskegee Airmen have rich history, and many of the women do too, but it's also parts of education, black education, that needs to be added in. But the school systems are not adding in black history like it should. It's still omitted. Go visit your neighborhood school of grandkids if you can and take a look at the library for yourself, and you see how they collect interesting reports to write about for their dissertation, let's go that far, for the doctorate degrees. Then let's kick it right back down to the bachelor level and the master's level, which I went through Phoenix. It wasn't a whole lot of black material I could find online to pull up that had pertaining to information of Tuskegee Airmen then to write about because the data wasn't able to be changed out of current. It would give an extract of something from something, Ebony Magazine or Jet Magazine back in the day, or what they had from what they call the blue fish files, which are old microfiche files that they had of data of the Tuskegee Airmen. That's how they were filed in the system through the military side. and then less than that, you couldn't even keep up with or find legitimately to read clean with the type of machine you had to read that piece of data with. So it makes it hard for you to embrace education if you can't get your research done.
Yes. But now, how do we promote this? I mean, because really, for them to say the internet is the problem, well, I mean, do what parents do at home. You know, you put a parental block on it, you know, so that way they can't see the nudity and, you know, things that are inappropriate, you know, for children under a certain age, or just if you don't want this in your home. So why not just put a parental block on it that these things can't be pulled up?
Well, many of those parental blocks that you pay for through McAfee and those other centers, Norton and those other security systems, are costly. Some people are not working and can't afford that, you know, $99 a year for it or X number of dollars for per month, if you will. And then sometimes they'll put a block on a gateway that the parents don't really are not tech savvy. It's not to their fault. It's just technology keeps changing so fast. They have to kind of do what you call the bare bones, if you will, kind of security to know how to correct it if the child's trying to get a certain kind of education. They need to be in the room with them, trying to help them get what they need, and then take the block and put it back on at the time. That might be workable or doable. But many of the parents are not exactly able to get into technology like that because they have their job, they have their career field, and that may not be part of their structure. So I can't fault them for it. It's just being able to network through online classrooms to help a child in groups. They learn better sometimes when the kids are seriously learning. It's worth it on Zoom.
Yes.
It's worth it on Duo. It's worth it on those software systems, on Teams. I like Google Teams. And to help them in a classroom offline because of this COVID and all this other stuff going on, that wasn't really a bad thing, but it taught the kid to learn another way, the child to learn another way other than having a teacher peeking over your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's where we're at, because if, believe me, this COVID keeps rearing its head, it's not done. Now, you and I had this conversation 3 years ago. It is not done. It's right on course from what we talked about 3 years ago. And then some. So we have to stay somehow technology so our kids are not going to hurt from this 10 years from now. And that's what bothers me the most. I'm looking at 70 coming up. About 10 years from now, I'm going to be 80 and hope I know my name. But the thing is, I worry about the kids knowing who they are, for the lack of history, for the lack of science, for the lack of mathematics, which they need what we call STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, and aviation and those things, is because we have to find a way where they can continue learning and have the tutors to do so online. Because you don't get enough teachers for the classrooms, they're going to close the schools. Theoretically, they're not going to keep a school open and nobody in them. They're going to have to force you back
online
again.
Well, I think that was with the COVID, where they were having the children stay home, that was what, you know, they showed. Okay, well, we can have them do in-home learning. And I think that's going to, you know, close down a lot of the businesses and everything because they're not needed at home. You know, they're not needed in the buildings. And we have a caller with their hand up, Colonel. So you ready to take a call?
Bring it on. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, here we go. Erico 404.
Hey, appreciate it, Antoinette. I appreciate you playing, busting that song for me. Colonel, I got two questions for you, man. You sound good, though, to me, about 70, man. You sound good and young, You sound good.
Thank you. Not even did a lot of that work for me. I'm just kidding.
Okay. All right. My first question is, you ever met a general called General Chappy James? You ever met him?
Oh, I missed him. He was one of our best Tuskegee Airmen. That was one of the best. I've read a lot about him. I met other commanders who did meet him and work with him. But, no, I didn't have the pleasure of doing that. But I know he was one heck of a – him and Benjamin O. Davis.
Yeah.
And And in Detroit, I went to their school, Benjamin O'Dell, as close as I can get to him, is to go into school and teach classes there. And I had a chance to do that at a particular school there. And I watched how the kids learn from their mentors, such as Chappie, who you're mentioning, and Benjamin O'Dell, with the pictures on the wall within the school. When you walk down those halls of schools, you see the information on them. But they definitely left their mark for Tuskegee Airmen on those school walls and for young people to follow now, coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes, sir. My next question is now, when you was flying, did you ever see something that looked like what they call unidentified flying object or something like that? Because I heard Chappie Jones say he saw one. So I just want to know if you saw anything.
Let me tell you someone I know who's been further out than that, Mr. Buford.
Mm-hmm.
From Wilberforce University. He and I met through the College Fund in Detroit, Michigan, and he has his own codec file because he's a photographer, yet one great black astronaut. And he was the first black man in space, to be exact, and then there's also one first black woman. We'll talk about her next. But he showed me his film file. Oh, yeah, we closed the door in Detroit. We went to a classroom and talked about this because he was there for the college run. So I said, let's have class. You should see some pictures he had, and I asked him to explain because I know how to look at video and film because that's one of my other career fields. And I can zoom into such a way to look in to see if it's a star, a cluster of stars, or something moving other than orbit and speed and Machs and spatial miles per hour, if you will, but in Mach speed zone, and what to look for was a UFO related, which you're talking about, unidentified flying object. And then I'm going to take it to this other spot. He showed me some stuff. He said, I can't explain that. I says, why not? I don't know what it is. And nobody else knows what it is. Well, Flash saw it now. Yes, ma'am.
No. I'm listening intently.
Okay. Take a look. 2022. We're talking about that now, how they're opening up these dead files or these quiet files or these classified files of UFOs. Area 51 in Arizona is real. That is not the only space. I was up in Hubertus, Wisconsin, but I know where Frisk Lake is at, and Holy Hill Road. There's a camp called Camp Village Jerome. Now, keep in mind, this is 1969-70 window. Yep, I was right. There was a camp up there. I went up there, and I remember going to camp there, and I remember a particular view up in the sky was an item that moved sideways. Hello, it wasn't a helicopter either, and I wasn't the only child that saw it because the other one started screaming hard because he couldn't figure out what it was. But the problem was we're not the only ones seeing things move. Pilots today, if you Google their names up, they will tell you their image on video that they had naked. Can't really call it a UFO unless they have something they really can't identify. But FAA knows this is not a joke. It's very real. We're not by ourselves. They're just not starting to talk about it. That's about as close as I can come to talking about, have I seen something I didn't recognize? Oh, I have some things I have some doubt about when I see snapshots of items that I can't figure out. Yeah, they're real. No doubt about it.
Yes, sir. And I think you was getting ready to talk about that Jameson lady, right? That Jameson lady, that's the woman you was getting ready to talk about.
Mae Jameson. There you go. You said I wanted you to see if I did. Mae Jameson. Now, she came to, watch this. We're in Detroit again, but in Dearborn and in Allen Park, where we did the Ford 100 event. I was there, and so was she. And so was my relatives. We brought the Wright plane to that location. We spent a week there in Dearborn. Mae Jameson came out there. And I asked her, because she's the first black female astronaut, I said, Mae James, how you doing? She said, fine. I said, I need one thing. She said, what? I said, I want the coordinates to heaven. She looked at me. Coordinates to heaven? I said, look, you've been out there far enough. Mr. Buford didn't have it, and I know you went out further than he did. What's the coordinates? What's the GPS? In other words, GPS coordinates give you latitude and longitude. She says, I can't tell you that. I says, why not? Because she says, I know it's out there. But even we don't know where it's at because it's not in the book for direction. That's real, honest, and she's good. Thank you.
I'm just listening, son. You tell us. I like the,
well,
I like the way you're breaking it down, man.
Go ahead.
I don't understand. I don't understand that, Colonel. There,
well,
so
here's
there
the thing.
Is a cordon for heaven. I mean,
no, it's not. The
cordon's
in the Bible.
Yeah.
The cordon's in the Bible. And that is the best cordon you're going to get. Scientifically, no man knows.
Oh, okay. That's what I mean. I thought that she was finding, like, the exact place for it. Okay.
No,
that's
no.
Where you had
no,
that.
No, that's
okay.
Infinite.
I misunderstood.
That's God's neighborhood. He owns that.
I agree. Yes.
And he's keeping that classified because he ain't telling nobody down here what the address is. We just know we're going there when we leave out of here.
Well, hopefully. And we hope.
We hope. We hope. I do. I did want to keep it positive. You're right. We hope.
We definitely
did that kind of answer the question?
Yes, sir. You was right on the money, sir. I appreciate it, man. I know you probably saw something. I appreciate it. But didn't Grab Bruford, did he die in the Challenger crash? Was he the one?
Yes, he wasn't the one, but a teacher did. And speaking of that shuttle disaster.
That was McNair.
I was in.
Yeah, that was McNair.
Yeah, I was in.
That was McNair.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, McNair, right. And there were three teachers that came in there when that happened, when the shuttle blew up. I was in El Paso, Texas, at El Paso Community College, Valley Verde campus, as the media support staff. My job was editing. That happened to happen on my watch. Three physicists shot in that lab, says, "Were you recording?" I said, "Yeah, I was hot." He says, "Stop the video." He says, "Why? We got a call from NASA." And I said, "What do you guys do? We're physicists. Okay? What are we going to do? We're going to stop at it." Them three guys figured out it was the D-ring that froze open that blew that baby up. They had that answer within about a half an hour just from me editing at certain microfilms. And you do film, and I know editing, I know digit point counters that we do. We go by it's all numbers. And we was able to lock a certain information and send it off to NASA. That quick. They sent them straight to Houston. And do you know within a period of time, that was the answer. And it came from El Paso, Texas Community College. Didn't three physicists. They diagnosed that baby right to the T. We froze just enough to watch that baby freeze wide open. And that's what it was. That blew that baby. Yes, sir.
Right on. But Mr. Buford's still alive then, right?
I'm not sure. I can't answer that. But as far as I know, he is. Like I said, he's a dear friend of mine, and I appreciate him. And if he's listening in, tell him I say hello, because that time I will never, ever forget spending time with him and his pictures. And he has one. If you ever meet him, ask him to look at those pictures. You don't find that in the Sun-Times out of Chicago or the New York Times. Or anybody else's time, that's his private collection, and what better one to get it is from the astronauts.
Yeah, after that, probably find it. That's a mission. But my next question is, just slipped.
I'm not going to touch that. I get in trouble. Go ahead.
My question just slipped. Forgive me. Come to me. I let y'all know, but now I've got a senior block.
All right. That's all right. Welcome to the club.
You look, I get them too, so. Get them too. Unfortunately.
Okay. Well, he can raise his hand and call back in, couldn't he? If you think about it, Ms. Antoinette, that's correct?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay,
yeah,
this
line is open. Yeah, Western line is open. Yes. So now with the Tuskegee Airmen.
Yes, ma'am.
You went through different parts of the military. So I'm assuming, of course, that your best one was when you were with the Tuskegee Airmen.
My job is support side. I did not do their part at all. I went through individually through United States Army, Michigan Army National Guard, United States Air Force, and Air Force Reserve. How I managed to be in with the Tuskegee Airmen from support side is being with the members who I met along the way who had me added to the family because of my special identifier skill set where we interface that helped support the Tuskegee Airmen. DOTA's was already done. Their part is done. But our side is to teach and educate the community in the schools and location and spend time with the daughters in the schools with new technology and their technology to help edify the schools that we went to for the kids who are smart, want to learn like in fifth and sixth and seventh graders who study in science and air and space. And that's my specialty from there and flight simulation. That's my job to teach that. So that's way it should be, because we have to continue to treat it, and one by one by one, we are, these daughters are going home to heaven, and it's not that many left. We have to continue to name, and that's what they have asked us to do, and I'm going to do it until my last breath is gone home.
My question is, okay, do you really think they went to the moon, or what you think? You think they went to the moon?
Yes, sir. I have verification, validation, and certification on that one. That is a fact. And it's not cheese up there either. Let me just let you know that. That's real moon. There's moon particles that came down, okay? And it does change color based on the sun's rotation of the earth and how it reflects. And that moon does get closer because of orbit. That is all real. There's no question to that. That is a very moon with craters on it, with design, with discoloration, because things hit it in space. We have space junk that comes to us, but hits the water. Thank the Lord, it could have hit your house or mine. All right? So it's real, because it blows up in space. It ages out, and satellites come hitting back into Earth. You're just blessed we are 80% water. It's going to hit one of the Gulf, or it's going to hit or West Coast or East Coast, or hit Indian Ocean, if you will. And that's what saves us from being hit by so much particles come back down. The moon is very real. It is part of our solar system. It is one that will give us a nice, good, between the earth and the moon and the sun. We get what we call those, what word kind of, Jack called me, equinox, if you will, the seasons, spring and summer and winter. Spring and winter, how we have those different changes of the moons and the positions of them and how they line up. Oh, yeah. And the ladies are going to land on the moon. Oh, we have Buzz Aldrin earlier said we've landed on the moon. But I'm going to hear a woman say, oh, yeah, we're on the moon and we're doing fine. Okay, I can hear it. I can hear it coming. There's going to be a woman's voice to that. But then there's other planets out there, Mars. There's other planets out there, maybe even Venus. Our exploration due to the new satellite up in space there that's now been put up there, what, a month ago? There are galaxies we haven't begun to look at that is worth seeing with the naked eye, if you will. We'll get the snapshots of the pictures that have been taken by that big beauty up there. She's doing a good job of snapshots that is good for the classrooms now, of solar systems that I can't even figure out where they're at on a big map of space because of the stars and rotation of Earth and the other planets of rotation. But that black hole they talk about up there, oh, it's up there. And you hear about reentry of space and aircrafts coming back into space. There's a two-minute zone that they can't even get communications through that we worry about every time one of our birds go up and come back down because of that lack of the way the electrons and neutrons and molecules and all that kind of interfere up there on reentry of space. It's dangerous for them astronauts. Don't think they have a pleasure ride getting between that. That's something that probably scares them, not to have communication. And anything can hit them up there. They're not protected by being attacked. Don't get it wrong. We're just making sure we do what we can to protect them from all the branches of service and any other force that could may mess with them.
Right on. Good question. You talking about that Jack? You talking about that Jack Webb telescope? And it's got damage because some asteroids didn't hit it, man. So it's damaged
already.
It's
so much space junk of those asteroids, and we have some even heading to Earth right now. That's kind of big. And if we took a missile, a projectile, a way of blowing it up, if you will, it would go into 1,000 pieces in space, and eventually multiply the problem 1,000 times. So they don't want to blow it up in space coming in at us, but if there's a way of trajectory changing it on its reentry in the Earth and burn up, it's not going to be able to burn up at the rate of speed it's coming in because it's so big. So it's going to hit something, and it's just a hopefully, prayerfully, the Lord take it, it hits the water. But there are things of space junk still returning to our Earth on a daily basis. It just doesn't hit front page news till it hits them.
So what you think about that Starlink with, what is his name, that Tesla guy, what is his name, Elon Musk putting up them 20,000 satellites, man, that Starlink, man. What do you think about that?
Well, I like the thought of what Musk is doing, but here's the thing. Anytime you can take a ship, an aircraft, if you will, from Earth, from wherever your neighborhood is at, if you will, but at the airport, if you will, fly that baby straight up in there. Of course, it won't go straight. It's going to have to turn and get onto its rotation and all that. And able to come back down an hour later, hit its targets, refuel the shuttle up there, and then bring it right back down and land in the exact same spot it took off within the same day, within 1 hour to 2 hour time lapse. That's good. That's good. That is a shuttle system that's going to be good down the road, because it's going to help your kids, grandkids, and their grandkids as that develops of a vision, like in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2, write the vision, make it plain. Somebody did that. They're writing it. But it takes the good Lord to say yes or no, because you're in his neighborhood. All right? So you have to have a lot of STEM in there, science, technology, engineering, math, especially math, geology, geometry, and understanding coordinates and spatial and weather. Weather has a lot to do with this. And formations of weather, because you go around earthquakes is one thing that has to do with the earth, but when you're dealing with air and you have weather formations that are high and low pressures and things of that nature, entry and reentry to space, there's a chance of the variable coming into the math equation of the unknown. And that's where the question comes up, that, yeah, how do we get around that unknown variable? But I like his thought. And I'm sure the electric cars are going to help and those things, but I like to see some of our kids design these drones, what I like to do in 3D, and put some up there in space, and one of those plans that came from your local city or my local city or my home city, Detroit. And we can say, our kids did that. They designed that, and look what it's doing now.
Yes, sir. And I'll ask you another question. You ever met the former NASA director, Bolden? Remember him? You never met him?
Nope. No, sir. Did not meet him.
You know who I'm talking about, though, right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, exactly. Heard about him, read about him, but not have met at NASA or anywhere of that point of contact.
Because he used to be an astronaut. I think he did fly on a shuttle a couple of times.
Wouldn't doubt it, because if they're going to be up in space and they're going to talk about space, I would think that's kind of like a requirement. You got to go fly the baby and command it for a while so you know what they go through to help teach them to do better. That's leadership in its finest form. Lead the way, do the work, and come back and teach it.
So that group you're talking about getting ready to land on the moon, I think it's 2024, called the Artemis Group. They're the Artemis.
Yes.
Some sisters with them, too.
Oh, yeah. I heard she's already in training. I saw her picture already. And that's why I said that. I was kind of alluding to that without talking that language, but you brought it up, and you are correct. I believe that within time of that 2024 window and her vision, I hope she's the one that steps off that aircraft down on the moon and says, "We here, baby. Bring it. Ladies, here we come." And that is what she should be saying, because they have right to do so. And it's high time for that to happen. Okay?
Yes, sir. One more question. You ever met Neil deGrasse? What's his name? Neil deGrasse Tyson? You ever met him?
For who?
I say Neil deGrasse Tyson. Tyson. He's supposed to be an astronomer or something. Okay. All right, that's good.
No,
I have
not met him.
All right, that's
okay,
good,
sir.
I appreciate it. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You, sir. Hope I answer your question, sir.
Yes, sir. You did good. You sharp, man. I'm going to mute myself, Antoinette. He's sharp.
Yes, he
Thank
is.
You, sir. I appreciate
yes,
that, man.
He is. The Colonel is one of the finest that we have, one of the Tuskegee Airmen. Colonel. Now,
yes, ma'am.
The Tuskegee Airmen, or any of the airmen, now, do they do the, is this where we're getting the weather reports and everything from? there was something that I heard that it was from the pilots going up in the air that they're able to tell what the weather is going to be, to, you know, to give the weather forecast.
Let me give I hear the question, but I want to make sure I hear it right. It's not only Tuskegee Airmen to do it. It's the pilots that give it, so, Jeff. But the weatherman know by looking at it from a
physics
side point of that. Go ahead.
No, that was the reason why I corrected myself. I said any airman, any pilot.
Exactly. And airwoman, for that matter. But the pilots give a lot to that because they see formations from their side. If they fly above the storm, as we would say, 37,000 feet in the air, you're above three layers of the cloud levels up there, and you have a cloud near you, you know, above them all. But you get to watch, what I enjoy watching is God's whirlwinds, and you find them in the Bible. Those are the hurricanes and tornadoes. I remember tracking Hurricane Katrina. I was in school in Detroit at school, and my kids tracked it in our classroom. One of the things I enjoy about hurricanes is how they develop as a very, very tropical low or depression, if you will, and then slowly start to go, well, what feeds a hurricane is the warm waters of that Gulf and Atlantic. For a hurricane, 75, you know, degrees is not bad, but 85, oh, that is party time. The slower that baby gets, it's been a name storm. A hurricane doesn't get its name until it hits that good 75 miles an hour. Then it'd be a tropical, low tropical depression, and then it gets an actual name at that degree point, at that, because that is then speed. That baby's up to speed and moving. And also, if it has certain decibars in there, which rates it, the lower the pressure in the low pressure area, the stronger he or she, and I mean he or she mean by name, if you will, not by gender, but by name. It gives a male or female name. Yeah. They name them different every year. That gives it its behavior. The reason why they do that geometrically is to know, one, where they at, two, their history, or in history to track later on years from the past. How you look at Katrina, you remember Rita, you remember certain ones, and you remember Floyd, like in North Carolina area. And they come by that, by historical names that are tracked, the FEMA and those things use that to know its path, to understand its wind direction. What changes the direction of a hurricane is the wind. And what kills the hurricane is the land, because it eats nothing but water, winter diet. But it loves warm water. Cold water, a hurricane will die out. And then the jet stream will turn it from the west to east as it comes in with a high pressure. It just moved them babies right out of our neck of the woods, the United States. But if it's a low pressure and we have it just right, it'll move it down in that Gulf around this time, right about now between 9 November, and then babies grow and they fester. That means they grow. The longer they sit still in that Gulf or that lower area of North Carolina like we're at, and you hear about there's a tropical low sitting over North Carolina, South Carolina, would have you, Tampa, Florida, and then watch what it happens when a jet stream comes along and moves it or delays it or it slows down because it doesn't have enough speed to move it fast enough. It grows very fast. And that's how those hurricanes, which we're in hurricane season, grow. But with this heat season we have now, it's global warming. That's a little bit different. It's hard to track it and create it. And, you know, they're all almost continental United States is that 90-degree winter, except for maybe 10 states. It's not. They're 80s and 70s. We shouldn't be this hot right about now. But Michigan is up in the 80s also, my home state. And here in North Carolina, we're looking at 99 degrees. And where you at is probably hot, too.
Yeah, well,
this is global warming. It's not in our book.
Is it with you in Georgia?
Yeah.
And Georgia, what's it like there?
Georgia's pretty
yes,
hot down here, too.
Yes, sir. Yeah. About 90-something, getting 90. So it's warmed
yeah.
up.
Oh, yeah. I've been down
yeah.
in Georgia. I love Atlanta. I was down there many times. I was down there for the, down in Knoxville for the World's Fair you all had in our great state. I was there for that. And then in Atlanta for the signing of Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday, they put on the calendar. I was in Atlanta when that happened with Coretta and Andrew Young, who's mayor then. Won't forget it.
Yes, sir. You got
yeah,
something to like that. You think about writing a book? Think about writing a book?
Yes, sir.
Cut you off, but you shot. All right, that's good.
Appreciate it, sir. Good on yeah. my memory.
You're good, Colonel. Colonel,
I try, man.
Now, the weather,
yes,
that,
yes, ma'am.
The weather that we're having now, that is all across the country, is,
yes,
this HARP? Is this HARP?
Is it HARP? What do you mean?
HARP. Is this man-made, manufactured?
No, ma'am. That's God's work.
It's all God's work. It's in the Bible.
This,
yes,
is what a man,
I mean,
can
but,
do.
Well,
now, I think I
have that
saying.
HARP machine.
If I hear you right, I think you're kind of pointing toward the chemicals in the air and the fossil fuels,
yes,
and how we are changing our,
yes,
our planet as a whole because of the greening light effect and heating up of the whole planet. If you watch, now watch this. Our thermostats are set north and south of pole. Now, why would I call it a thermostat? That's the coldest point. And the heat of the equator is dead center across the earth all the way around. Now, figure Africa,
mm-hmm,
where it hits. More of these hurricanes and tornadoes come from, not tornadoes per se, but hurricanes. Tornadoes can spin off anywhere.
Yeah, they come from
but
Africa.
But the hurricanes,
yeah,
specifically come out of Africa and the Congo area.
Right.
And it gets that tropical low because it's tropic. That's what I say, call it a tropical depression, a tropical low. And as it travels from east to west, where our Earth's rotation, you have no choice but the cyclonic of it could be reversed to a different direction of the spin-up. Based on movement, based on rotation, based on jet stream. Oh, yeah. But the thing about it is, it's all in the Lord's hands. He knows,
yes,
just,
I mean,
where it's going because it belonged to him. That's why I call the whirlwind. Lord,
yes,
provided the flood for a reason. For us to go through that. That's why I said all this belonged to him. We're just trying to make it man-related. I'm not going to go there. This is not our fault. Yeah, there's
no, I don't think it's our fault.
No, ma'am. We junk up with the plastics in the water and the geese and everything else getting the water, too, and the whales and everything else. It's all of us coexisting together, if you will. But the junk that we do throw into the water and all, that comes back to haunt us. There's no doubt in my mind because it's contaminated. We're some main culprits of the earth being congested because we litter everywhere or debris is in there, whatever. So Greenhouse America coming in with that greenhouse, they're trying to clean up the waters, to try and clean up the bacteria, to try and clean up the way the waters flow in the rivers so we can have some water down the road with your children, my grandchildren, have something to look at 20 years down the road, even though tomorrow's not promised, by the way, it's in the Word. But still, to give them something to work on to hopefully to clean up that they can swim in.
Yes.
And that's, you know, another sport, if you will. But they have some water to feed their land to grow crops. Let's go there. Many of the oceans are starting to what? Rise. And one thing like North Carolina, we're rising waters. And then there's some that are drying up of water and lack thereof. Great state of Texas where I've been. I've covered the entire state. But their state is mostly desert now and lacking. And then flip all the way over to California on the far west coast. What's it doing? It's always on fire because they don't have,
yeah,
lack of moisture there. People moved out of one part. Today I heard about 1,000 people had to leave because they can't control the flames. Is that hot? It's like a cinder box.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So the Lord's cleaning up earth. I put it that way. He's cleaning,
yes,
up earth the way he designed it. He's taking it out.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
People can't run out of house fast enough with all the diamonds and everything to save.
Yes. Yeah, if you have a question or a comment, if you press the number 1, I can open up your line. So press the 1 if you have a question or a comment. Or for our Tuskegee Airmen that are out there, press the number 1. Oh, forgive me, Colonel, for cutting across you.
Now, I'll be good with me anytime. We're comfortable. We know each other. I want our listeners to call
yes,
in. I love you
sir.
Being a broadcast. I love our listeners. I don't care where they're on the planet. They can call me. I don't care if they're up in space. Call on down here. We'll take a call from space in a heartbeat. Come on.
How much? That's
what I look out for. Them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, you're absolutely correct there. Now, with the
there's
daughters,
a point. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead with your question. Go ahead. I was going to ask you, of the daughters that you met, what can you tell us about them?
Oh, what a question. I love it. One of the things I've learned, each of the daughters have a point in history that they cherish. What I like about the ones that I have met, they all didn't talk about the negativity of the earth, if you will, of the battle, of the war. They talked about some family time, too. And what I liked about them, they're human, too, like you and I. They have good parts, and then they have health problems. But many of the conversations I did with Alexander Jefferson was to talk about not how he fought the battle, but how he's living. He and I walked downtown. He would go to the parades, Veterans Day Parade. Him and I marched in Veterans Day Parade together. And then I would see him out Thanksgiving Day Parade, and I said, when do you rest? He said, well, there ain't a parade ain't going on in Detroit. Or he didn't have to go to an air show somewhere. Or if he wasn't invited to speak at some school, because he loved to teach. But the man would walk up and down Michigan, up and down the streets, you know, up and down the main streets there of Detroit. And I like that about him. We passed the GM Center, we were talking, and he would talk about, you know, cars is great, but let's talk about planes. I said, no, let's do better than that. Let's get a hold of Ford and get us a Pegasus and put some wings on that thing. Let's fly some cars. And he said, that would be nice. That'd be better than a P-51. So I said, if technology was reversed, what would you have done? He says, not really anything, because we didn't have to worry about technology then. It's now we worry about it because we're trying to get something done. We have to ask somebody how to do it because they didn't have the technology to bounce back on, so they have to learn it. And that's what many of the daughters I talked to did not like is the technology interference of learning. Because we rely on it too much instead of hearing it from each other and exchanging information. And that's what I'm going to
keep.
That's the keeper for a teacher like me.
Yes, I agree with that. I think it's too much technology. I think it's too much technology. And that is hurting our children and everything. It makes me wonder even about future inventions or anything else because children don't get bored anymore. You know, they don't have to get bored. They have so many gadgets, you know, to keep their minds busy where they're not sitting and pondering things.
You know, and that's true because one of the things about technology is it's a gift, it's a help, it's a handy one. But at the same time, it takes away from personal mind development because first thing we do, let me look on my phone and see if I can find this answer real quick. Instead of saying, let me sit down with a piece of paper and pen and do the math to figure things out. That's why.
Yeah. Yes. As I remember when I was in high school, that's when calculators first came out. I hope I'm not aging me.
No, you're right. Mine was too, same
and
way.
And I still was comfortable with the pencil on paper. And I would get mine done quicker, and mine was right. And, you know, with the calculator, it was slower, and the answer wasn't always right. I mean, it was just what you were inputting into the calculator, but, you know, still I prefer pencil and paper.
But you know what? When the batteries went out, the brain kept going.
Yeah.
Because when it all said and done, when they couldn't get them calculators working, and they couldn't plug it in the wall, and they couldn't figure out how to use a little calculator, they ended up back with pencil and paper and figuring it out. Regular, plain, old, good math. Mathematics, as we call it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're so right.
To answer your listener's question.
Pardon me?
Did I answer her question?
That was my question.
Oh, okay. I know the one lady asked. Okay. I thought the lady had a question.
Well, there's no lady on here. That was Brother West.
Oh, okay. All right.
And me that asked you questions. No, everybody else is being quiet. They're not saying anything.
Put them to sleep.
You didn't put them to sleep.
At least
they had
some good dreams.
I'm sorry. Everybody listen. Most everybody listen and learn it.
I hear you, brother. I'm glad you're still there with me, hanging on with me. I appreciate that. And the listeners. Okay, I'm ready.
Yes,
bring it on.
Do you know about their, original... Okay, Colonel, do you know about the Tuskegee Airmen's original plane, how they were given, well, I want to say crappy planes. I don't know how else to put it, but that their planes were inferior to the other airmen's planes when they went over to Germany, but how they had to fix them themselves?
That's real. And you, the thing about it is they didn't have like a mobile gas station pull into and land down and touch down in the middle of the highway and fly back up in the air. When they had a plane problem, they had a real one. If they wasn't shot down out of the air from a gunfight up in the sky on a turn bank and another aircraft come up behind them, faster jet, and fire rounds in their airships, they had to deal with going on the ground and replacing whatever part they had that hurt that aircraft or ditch it. And that was hard because there's no way like you can catch a bus back home or another plane. It would take another team to fly in to come pick you up, fight gunfire most of the time to pick you up and then take back off again if they were able to do that. Because remember, these are two-seaters. So there's only one person picking up, one pilot per plane, and they got a second seat available to carry you back on another one so they can get it on the ground and get it back up, like a touch-and-go, as we would call it. But those planes were not able to be recoverable because once they went down, they usually were in worse shape than they were when they went up the first time, already glued together when they took off. And some of the planes just did not make it, did not fare well.
But not many of the Deltas, if any, lost their lives during World War II, did they? I don't remember reading a whole lot of them that lost their life.
Their loss of life is from aging and or from combat, like any other military do. They weren't just isolated from that. They had, friendly fire. No, they didn't have friendly fire. Friendly fire is from the same another building. They didn't have that to deal with. But they were shot at, and many of those planes went down, and it went down. Some were listed. Some may not have been until later on. There's someone who lost their life. Yes, ma'am, they were.
Now, I have read that one of the soldiers has said that they were taught being a prisoner of war, they were treated better in Germany than what they were when they came home.
That's a good statement. I've been over in Germany to see things for myself. Places I was at in Gießen and Frankfurt and down in Berchtesgaden and all the way up to Bremen where we first come go pick up our cars and drive down to Heidelberg. I was there. These are places I've been, the Czechoslovakian border. I was there in Marburg outside of Gießen. Racism is one thing that I noticed when I had to find places to live on what they call the German economy when we didn't stay in the barracks. There existed problems because some people did not want the army or branch of services in their apartment complex. They were kind of off limit, but we couldn't go to them because of case of somebody wanted to attack or an airman or a troop. Or it didn't really matter. It's just that they didn't like America in certain places of Germany because of war bitterness and because just plain old prejudice. But the majority of the country is pretty good. Wunderbar, as they would say. And Lorsching sprechen Sie Deutsch means do you speak German? And respect that.
Yeah.
They respect each other. I know I had a good time. They feed me some good food from the cakes to everything else I can say. And the embassy stands a little. If you ever seen the trucks that go out from the Mr. Softy ice cream trucks? Oh, let me take it further than that. The little bicycle cart that had the ice cream on that rolled down the streets in the neighborhood, and the kids all run to it as soon as they hit the little bells going on, and then get their little ice cream out of those little bicycle carts. I remember the CO test was one of the big ones known in Detroit for that. There, they have what you call ember stands, and they're little bitty little hot dog stands, if you will, but they call them bratwursts and currywursts and all kind of other wursts sausages, if you will, to make those sandwiches on those nice big roll buns and, oh, man, and have a schnitzel to go with it. And you're walking down the street with some pomfrits, which are french fries, and mayo, and just having a good time. But that's part of Germany, which is good. I remember going to a city called Dachau. Dachau had to do with the Dutch ovens. I mean, not the Dutch ovens, but the ovens, if you will. I'll say it right. But it had not the Dutch, if you will, but it had to deal with the Jewish ovens, if you will. And there were some things of war that were bitter, that was nasty, that was ugly. But the piece of that history you would find when you go visit there. And that was just one place. But there was other places I went in Frankfurt to the zoo and other places and other vintage buildings. The architecture of Heidelberg is something to see. Even in a place called Garmisch. Hitler stayed up in the Hilton, up in the General Walker Hotel. And I was up there to visit there, and I stayed there to see the places where he stayed at and to see the view into three countries from that viewpoint right there. You can see all the way over to Austria, and then you can see over on the other side, you see French border. It's just something to see, and then you go all the way down to Berchtesgaden, you look down in Salzburg, and you look down in Austria. And the countries are so knitted across there, there's beauty when there's even negativity to a country of that area, of Bavaria, if they called it, and just learning their culture. And that sometimes takes your mind off of racial disparity, which I did. And you get to learn some history and enjoy yourself to come back to tell kids about.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. That's very good. If anyone has a question or comment, if you press the number 1 on your phone, I will open up your line and you can come in. And our airmen are being very quiet tonight.
I wonder why. I didn't give anybody any homework. Being a teacher, first thing I want to do. All right, turn your homework. Let's talk about it. No. I'm glad you have an audience, and I know they're there, but sometimes subject matter is so sensitive, people don't want to kind of talk about it, just kind of learn about it, and it's like a class, if you will, but give you some notes to talk about with your family when you're home later on. And I hope that's kind of what's going on. And I hope some young people are listening in also. Learning is hard sometimes to decipher or sort when there's so much coming at you. And that's why I try and break it down as much as I can so they can process it and then go to school next month or go back to school. They have some subjects to talk about. And I want them to talk about the Tuskegee Airmen. I want them to talk about the planes. I want them to talk about aviation. Like I said, we have a great need in our country for pilots. America, like most airlines, had to cancel half their flights because they don't have no pilots. And I'm pushing for pilots every chance I get, not just for drone pilots, which we do need. And by the way, Ms. Antoinette, drone pilots are going to be a big business. Companies are building drones to deliver their products to the customer.
Drone
techniques. We would have our own kind of teams of performing drones, if you will, which they're already doing for the holidays. You see them out Christmas time and things like that. They got these high-performance drones, but they need the pilots to learn how to do that. And learning 3D is such a way we can design certain parts that we're going to need to repair these drones that get tore up or run out or crash or what have you. And this is a part of science and technology I like that's coming up now, where the young people can design their own career, if you will, and how to be more smarter in education, if you will, because they can create the future as we speak in 2022 that can be used in 2023, not in the past where it wasn't, but where we're going up to. And that's what I like about it.
Yeah, and that's good. That's very good.
And that's not age
restricted
either.
But now, how do we get them inspired? How do we get the children inspired?
When I go into classrooms, I enjoy my K-5-year-olds because they are uniquely questionable. My youngest student, I think you heard me say this before with another good friend of mine, Major Bob Tillman, was 6 months old. And
yeah.
It's only because mother was holding the young baby and she was flying a drone, flying a simulator, and the baby wanted to take turn and do it too. The babies are image, they were a little recorder. They watch stuff and they want to try it because they see it.
Yes,
creativity.
They do.
Well, that's kind of the way the kids are doing now with these games, but I don't like to do anything I do anywhere near gaming. I do it for technology research. So the child is learning math. They're learning colors. They're learning science. They're learning sound. They're learning GPS, global positioning system, so they can understand air and space. They're learning latitude and longitude so they know where they're at on the U.S. map and overseas map. And they're learning how to use geography better. I taught geography at one of my schools in Detroit. And my kids, I had more failures because they didn't know where Detroit was at. They thought it was in another state other than Michigan. And there are two other Detroits. So they had a good argument. But I had to see, make sure they understood which Detroit did what. And that's just mentioning that. Many cities have same alike names, but you have to identify the state that goes with it and the capital of those states. So kids had a problem with geometry also because that's not the same as geography, but geometry. Because you can't take a little round circle and put it in a square. Yes, you can. You can take a triangle and put it in a square. Well, that's a little different. But you can put it in a circle. And understanding geometric figures and what fits, what doesn't fit, what's the obtuse angle from acute angle, what's the difference between a straight line of 180 degrees to 360 degrees, and then where's 90, where's 45. That is all part of geometry. But that's what they're using today in flying. That's what they're using today in mathematics. That's what they're using today in businesses to design or architect a home or a business or a super sculpture or even in 3D, which I'm doing now, being able to help things to come up to life so you can understand a dome that they talk about in weather today. You'll hear weathermen talking about that today. If you look at it in 3D, you can see the dome of heat that's above us over Texas and Michigan and North Carolina. That's real. That's 2022. This is why geometry is coming to life a little differently, coming to life with 3D attitude, behavior. So you're talking about a polygram. You're talking about a hexagon. You're talking about a rectangle. You can take it in 3D and open that baby up and look at all points of it. That's where math is coming to life at. And that's worth its
weight.
Yeah, which
is
right
good.
There and going. Oh, yes. Yeah, it's creating vision. It's creating intuitive thinking and understanding math in its little different perspective. And that's what our kids need to build to the future. Because our cars are going to be very much like you heard me say earlier, let's go to Ford and ask them to build Pegasus. That's taking the Mustangs that we have, if they had made so very well, put some wings on it and let it fly. Because you know what? In about 2 years, they're going to have cars that are flying. And my question to you, Miss Antoinette, when are you going to buy your, not electric car, but your fly car? The electric car would probably be the way they have it. And I said, you know what? While you at it, get me a solar car so I don't need to have fuel. I can use the sun for my fuel. Nobody
yeah.
answered my question yet. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that would be a good idea. But now, Colonel, do you really think that they're
yes.
going to make something like that? Because that'll cut into the economy. They won't make any money. And
well,
we know everything is all about money.
No.
Pardon
That's going to go away. That's going to go away. Well, you won't have to have money. You basically almost don't need a credit card the way it is now. You just need your thumbprint and your toes or something. And then there you are.
Yeah,
you can pay your
but
bill.
I don't do that. Yeah, I don't do that.
But here's it's coming there. The money part is going away because what happens is they find germs in it. They find drugs in it. You touch a $20 too many times or whatever, it gets in your fingers and the fingers get you sick. And you are hearing about that. That's very real. Because money goes through hands from hand to hand to hand. That's
true.
Real. And they don't take it to the washing
yes,
machine first. Let me take it down to the corner and wash all this before I use it. Your little dollars won't survive. Okay? So you can't wash it.
Yeah.
Can't rinse it all. So that's why they have to find another source of the economy structure to change its behavior so you can exchange your finances a different way. That's going to happen. But the stores and places that we get to buy things is changing behavior. Stores are combining. Businesses are combining. They're getting smaller. And they're getting more itemized specialty. Certain stores have specialized things and only so many of them. And you find as we change our market and our commodities, there will be more United States than us having to send off to China because of the things that's going on out there in that water. But boats can't even come in the country because of this, what I call embargo, if you will. But they can't get the drivers, the pilots, the crews to bring those ships in of those big super tankers. So they have to sit out in the water and get somebody to bring them to our coastline so we can unload them. Then we have to figure out where the 18-wheelers are at, the drivers of those vehicles, to take it over the road to get it to the rail system. And then get it to the rail system and get it to the cities so our kids can have their baby food that they need. They're sitting on them ships on that water out there. This is our problem with commerce right now. They haven't figured out the answer to these things they call small stuff. Because we're busy doing other stuff. But
yeah,
that problem still is there. So they have to change the way we do commerce little by little by little. And that's going to include cars and energy and power.
Well, that's true. But, Colonel?
Yes.
Where is this leaving us now? I mean, you know, I mean, because not everyone is going to, not everyone is going to take that mark. I'm going to put on something right now, and we're going to take a break for a minute.
All right.
Ah, yes, the world, planet Earth, third from the sun of a gun, 360 degrees, and as new worlds emerge, stay alert, stay aware, watch the eagle. Bear. Earthquake and foundation shaking, bias breaking, new day making change, accumulating, liberating, educating, stimulating change. Tomorrow was born yesterday. From inside the rib or the people cage, the era of our first blood stage was blotted or erased or TV screened and defaced. Remember, there's a revolution going on in the world. One blood of early morning revolved to the one idea of our tomorrow. Homeboy, hold on. Now more than ever, all the family must come together. Ideas of freedom and harmony, great civilization. Yesterday brought today will bring tomorrow. Neon, Leon, fast lane, brother, you were yesterday when dreams of karma and life still live. As it was in the beginning, so shall it be once again. Earthquaking, foundation shaking, investigating yesterday. I was wondering about our yesterdays and digging through the rubble. And to say the least, somebody went to a hell of a lot of trouble to make sure that when we looked things up, we wouldn't fare too well. And we would come up with totally unreliable pictures of ourselves. But I've compiled what few facts I could, I mean such as they are, to see if we could get a little bit of light. This is what I got so far. First, white folks discovered Africa and claimed it fair and square. Cecil Rhodes couldn't have been robbing nobody, because hell, there wasn't nobody there. White folks brought all the civilization, wasn't none around. How could these folks be civilized when wasn't nobody writing nothing down? And to prove all their suspicions, well, didn't have to wait too long. They discovered there were whole tribes of people in plain sight with no clothes on. That's right. The women, the men, the young, and the old righteous folks covered their eyes. And no time was spent considering their time. But hell no, this just wasn't civilized. Another way they knew the folks were backwards, or at least this is how we were taught, is that unlike the civilized people of Europe, these tribal groups actually fought. And yes, there were some rather crude implements, and yes, there was primitive art. And yes, they were masters of hunting and fishing. Courtesy came from the heart. And yes, there were medicines, love, and religion, intertribal communication by drum, but no paper and pencils and other utensils, and these folks never even heard of a gun. So this is why the colonies came, to stabilize the land. The dark continent had copper and gold, and the discoverers had a plan. They would discover all the places with promise, and didn't need no leases or deeds. Then they'd appoint people to make everything legal, to sanction the trickery and greed. When the natives got restless deep in the jungle, they would call it guerrilla attack. And never described it, folks finally got wise and decided that they would fight back. Still, we are victims of word games. Semantics is always a bitch. Places once called underdeveloped and now called mineral rich. And still, we are constantly hounded with unity just beyond reach. Egypt and Libya used to be in Africa. They've been moved to the Middle East. There are examples below, I assure you, but if interpreting was left up to me, I would swear every time this version ain't mine. That's why it's called his story. Earth shaking, foundation quaking, bias breaking, new day making, change.
Change the world. We need
Okay, well, Connor, we're back.
Hello. I'm here.
Hello. Okay, well, we're back, and we're getting to the end of our show.
Yes, and it's been a ball. I've had a good time with you. And they'll call
No, everyone was listening intently to you. You gave us so much information tonight that you gave us a lot to ponder on.
Well, if I was able to share just a little piece of something that will help somebody's day tomorrow, and my living will not be in vain. If I could borrow the words of Dr. King.
Yeah.
One of the things we didn't mention about, no one here to defend it, but I will hopefully do a part two of this program, and that's talking about the International Tuskegee Airmen Day.
Yes,
you know, talking about
I was going to bring that up. Yes.
Good. Let me open that door. March 7th is a day right now that's been set out by the president of that day, if you will, as National Tuskegee Airmen Day. Now, that brings in our country only 5 states, I believe, is the last count, that are working with that. I know North Carolina is where Virginia. There are certain ones that are working on it, and North Carolina, I think, has not yet, as far as I know. But I'm pretty sure this governor is good, and Governor Cooper is a great guy. I haven't heard him say yay or nay on it yet. I did send an info up on that day, but I haven't heard anything back. But I hope he does, because his heart is kind of in learning and adding and new, and he's new development, and I like that about it. My home state of Michigan, I'm not sure if they've added it in yet. I don't know if your state of Delaware, you all have added it yet, but we need all 50 states.
I don't know. I would check on that.
We need all 50 states, because to make it International Tuskegee Airmen Day, the other countries are acting faster than we are here. And why is it such a push? Not because of DOTAs that are passing so fast, but to keep this history alive. To bring forward the quiet history
we
haven't talked about yet. To bring the lives of the DOTAs who laid their life on line to defend this country, and the staff members behind it, and the women to go right along with it. This is why we need the teachers in the field to go to the schools, to go to the places, to speak on, to bring some of that history to life, to speak on the subject of why the planes didn't work, so our new technology doesn't go through this vicious circle again, so the racism doesn't continue, that our kids can live with it and talk about it, and they can begin to teach on it too. In order to keep history alive, you have to have those that have a voice box to speak on it. And that
true.
Is what I'm going to
That's
try and do
true.
Where I travel.
Yes. Appreciate it. We truly do. We truly appreciate it, Karen.
The power of the technology we have now reaches in all the countries that have capability to pick up the Wi-Fi, that have capability to pick up the satellites, to have access of even all the way into Africa. I remember one of the first communications we did over in Africa was over in Ghana some years ago when I did my showcase show. A friend of mine was over from our church. He was there. We did a live feed from Ghana all the way to where I was at in Detroit, Michigan, via communication at that time. And now they love it because it went right into their classroom. We were doing like a test pilot to see if it worked, and it did. We have the technology now to record this on Facebook Live, if you will, and you don't get the feedback. I hope we did that. But I would like to do it that way, to keep communication going. We need to do Tuskegee Airmen Day nationally that way, live. Every Zoom, every Duo, every communication we can find up on the satellite to reach over in Ghana, to reach over in other countries, so we can make it that Tuskegee Airmen Day. Because these pilots flew all over the world. They flew everywhere. They traveled the world. Their names are in the other parts of the world. So why not put one day? And then we have Secretary Day. We have Business Day. We have this day or that day. Why not one more day and make it that day, official?
Yes, I agree. I agree. You know, especially since, you know, again, you know, a lot of people don't know about the Tuskegee Airmen. And they, you know, they don't know about them. They definitely don't know about the DOTAs and what they did for this country. Not only for the country, but for the world, that,
you know, we are where we are today, which is not in the place that we exactly want to be, but it's better than what it was when, you know, before they, you know, made their contribution by, you know, going off and fighting in the war, you know, just by, you know, blocking the bombs and things like that, being the bombers. So we're grateful to them for that. And they need to be made known.
Our Bible talks about, at least mine does, wars and rumor wars. They're not going to go away.
Yes.
They're going to come from different countries at different times. It's in the way history is being written. But there comes a time within the history that there are, I won't say stars, but there are those that stick out, who made it a little more differently memorable and not always the sad and the gloom and the doom, but the heroes of it, if you will. And that's our airmen, and that's our soldiers, and that's our guardsmen, and that's our Marines, and that's our Navy, and that's our Air Force, and that's our women, and that's our men, and that's our Special Forces, and that's our airborne teams, and those are the Coast Guard out there also. I won't forget them. And all of us have our own and our law enforcement side. We have to go get the AWOLs when they don't say, hey, I swear to do this. I want to do this job. It's time to go to war. They don't put on the uniform. They go the other way. That's why we have the law enforcement side, to go get the ones who said, yes, I'll do it, and getting paid, and then don't want to do the job. But you have to have that. It all goes in the territory. But it's the coexisting we need to do better so we can build up our support to make our country do what it's supposed to do, and that's respect one another so we can live into the next generation with our next youth, make them a difference of opinions of change based on what we do now to make it better for them later on when we're gone.
I truly agree.
It's been a powerful night, and I thank all your listeners and those with hands up and those in the studio, those who came and enjoy. I enjoyed the show, Blog Talk, because we need to do more Blog Talk.
I enjoyed you. Yes.
I don't get to be on here too often.
Tell where you're going to be at. Tell where you're going to be.
I'm right here. Go ahead. Say again.
Where you're going to be on the air, where we'll be able to find you at on the air.
Oh, yes, ma'am. WCPS. Located out of 760 AM and 96.3, the power station here in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina, and the great city of Tarboro, which hosts the AM and the FMs on Rocky Mountain. This station is located deep in the roots here of good old North Carolina Rocky. We have a big old event center where many of the artists are coming here and performing. We have a lot to do. With this station, is one of the many stations here, but this one is community-based. It belongs to the station, and that's exactly what we call it. It is owned and operated by Reverend Dr. Thomas L. Walker, and is navigated, if you will, program directed, and ownership co-partnership, if you will, is Miss Sheila Knight, if you will, but I call her Teresa Walker, and that is her name. She is not a spouse to Reverend Dr. Walker, and they are teamed up to make this city and cities, Twin Cities, more busy and smarter in technology, one. Two, in government business, two, because they talk about this COVID, they supply the shot. We have a big place now called the Promised Land Park. And I was there for the open. We have a little choo-choo train. I think I sent you a little video of it. That I shot myself up that little choo-choo train. Because we have the gospel train, if you will. But that little choo-choo train keeps things on track. The money that's raised for that is for the land itself development, to put that little park to develop for the kids to have a place of peace within the city of Rocky Mountain to go to. Our parks and areas are so now full of gunfire. Sometimes I remember playing in the park in Chicago and being shot at while I'm shooting balls. Somebody thought they were targeting gangs each other. I'm still here. But that happens every day in our cities in New York. I've seen it when I was in L.A. I've seen it when I was in Bronx, New York. I've seen it in Detroit, Michigan. I've seen it in Chicago. And I've seen it overseas. It doesn't stop. But we need to help to make our area so our kids can have something safe by protecting it and being more involved as parents and adults. That's what we need to do. And I try to do that But violence is going to happen because the devil's in the mix. He's causing a problem.
Yes.
He's to kill, steal, and destroy. So the Lord already authorized it, if you will, to allow it. It's our job to try and deter it. And that's what we need to do.
Yes, I agree. Well,
so I thank you for inviting me to the show, Ms. Antoinette. I appreciate you.
Well, I thank you for being with us. And I appreciate you. You know I appreciate you.
Yes, ma'am.
Well,
anytime,
God, I
want to
thank you for... Go ahead.
I was saying anytime you invite me, I'd be more than happy to help you with your subject matter. Anytime. And I bless you. And appreciate you standing on the battleground.
Thank you. I appreciate the work that you do because it's so valuable. You know, we're needed at this time. This time we have to let our light shine.
It is. Keep an eye on the heat. Drink lots of water, folks. Tomorrow's another day for the heat and the sun. Dab it best you can.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely wear your mask.
Yep, I'm
going to
say one day next week. Wear a mask.
Say again?
It's too hot to be wearing any mask. It's too hot to be wearing some mask.
It's not too hot. Get the can you can breathe through, because if you don't, that germ out there is going to get you in one form or another. That Omicron is out there. That B5 is out there. The smallpox is out there. All of them are out there. It's which one is going to get
you
and take you out. Yeah.
Colonel, breathing in your own CO2, which is not good.
But you know what?
That's poison.
Your body
bounces by
your
poison.
Own carbon. Yeah, your body absorbs your own carbons and processes them to help the heart, to help your bloodline, because it's yours. It's not contaminated. Yeah, it's tainted if you let them your guard down and don't protect what comes at you. But when you absorb your own, what I run many a time, when I get tired, I breathe my own air. I put my hand around my nose, I breathe my own air to rebalance my blood system, rebalance my heart, to rebalance me so I don't pass out. It works, and that's before the dumb mask was out. I was doing that in Texas when it was 122 degrees, sitting in El Paso, Texas, in the desert, before I went to White Sands, New Mexico. I know you guys signed off the air, but I wanted to mention that.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing this for decades. They only make it bigger because of COVID, but we must protect ourselves from these crazy germs.
But, Colonel, you know what you can do for that is you wet a towel, and you take the towel and put that over your nose and your mouth, and you breathe that in, and that will help you so that you're able to breathe to get your breath and everything back.
Too many drops of water, you drown yourself.
Well, you're not drinking it. You're not drinking it. You're using it to breathe. You're making the cloth wet so that not so it's drinking where it's coming in you.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, I'm not a promoter of the mask and all of that stuff. I mean, I know that you have to do it if you want to go into some stores and things like that. But other than that, you know, I'm not a promoter.
I hear you. All right, we're at 7 o'clock, right?
Pardon me?
All right, I'm signing off.
Let me make this announcement. Okay, thank you. Y'all don't forget Dry Bones tomorrow at 11 a.m. for the 10 a.m., forgive me, for the Helios Velios. And Brother Ray at 3 o'clock, no matter where you are in the world, at 3 o'clock Eastern time to be drumming. And with that, I'd like to thank y'all for being with us, and good night.
Good night.
Beautiful home. on high. Tears.